Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I am so pleased that you're here today because it's my intention to give you the most single, powerful episode today. So I definitely want you to download it, save it, bookmark it, screenshot it and put it in your photo album on your favorite device. Write it down in the back or the front of your diary as a resource because you will definitely want to come back to this. So hit pause, do it now and then come back. Okay. But of course, before we get started, I always want to check, you know, that we're feeling grounded. But of course, I'm not because I'm so excited at the moment. Well, I am, but I'm full of beans. But check that you're grounded. And of course, I want to always begin with gratitude, as you know. So I start all of my podcast episodes with a big thank you. And sincerely, hand on my heart. You can't see it, but I've got both my hands on my heart. I'm thanking you and sending you so much love for listening to another episode. And of course, welcome to all of the new subscribers. So why am I so happy? I am so happy because I feel like I've had this big light bulb moment, this big epiphany, and it's all about the content for our episode today. So how did it come about? Well, two ways. First of all, I've had a few calls with potential clients, women who wanted to work with me in coaching. And I've started to notice a little bit of a pattern in terms of objections to that. Okay, that's fine. And then I was sitting there last night and I was thinking to myself, how can I help these women with this? And how could I do it in a way that aligned with both our values? Like your values and my values, I feel are probably quite similar. And so I just wanted to think, okay, I'm all about operating a business from soul and about spiritual integration into your private practice. But how would this look if we were to approach the objections that come up for us as women when we kind of cognitively know we need help with something, yet that fear sort of bubbles up? And it bubbles up in four ways. And so what I thought I'd do is, well, it's not really coaching you through it because you're not here and coaching requires two people. So I'm going to give you broad brush strokes in the hope that it lands for some of you, or a lot of you actually. And what my intention with this is that if you've wanted to invest in a course or supervision or mentoring or coaching with me or with anybody else, but there's been that, you know, sort of you've come up against that bump, I'm hoping that this episode will help you work through that bump and unlock that potential for you to be able to go and do the thing that you know you need to do to help you in your business or your life. Okay, so that's my intention here today. And second of all, is to give you some, you know, information and education about how you can support your clients that you talk to that might have a little bit of a bump of their own when it comes to investing in something that you're offering. Yeah. So I know many of us ladies are not only therapists, but we're therapists that deliver one-to-one work. And so many of us deliver online programs that might be high ticket. So many of us are providing coaching programs, workshops for corporations and things like that that might be high ticket. And so in your private practice, you're going to be coming up against objections too, no doubt. So I want to show you how to deal with them as a practice owner, but I also want you to learn how to deal with them for yourself so that you can get the help that you need in your practice, whatever that might look like for you. Okay. Does this sound good? I know, right? It sounds so good. So what I've done is I've gone back over all of the inquiry calls that I've had over the last 6 months, and I've made a list of all of the, you know, reasons that people didn't feel like they could enroll in coaching, right? So I was just focusing on my coaching program because everything else is super affordable. It's coaching that seems to be the hiccup for some people. So here we go. I just took the top four, and the top four for me were people saying that they didn't have time. Like, oh, Brooklyn, this sounds really great. I love to do the coaching with you. But to be honest, like, I just don't have the time right now. Maybe I'll come back to you, you know, in 6 months, or maybe we can do this next year when things settle down a bit. That's the first one. The second one is they say, oh, this sounds amazing, Brooklyn, but do you know what? I just can't afford that right now. I can't afford $10,000 right now, or whatever the fee was when I was talking to them. They can't afford it. And then they say, but maybe later, maybe next year when I've got my practice up and running and I'm turning over some money, then I might be able to. The third one is they say, oh, this sounds really good. Yeah, I can't make a decision right now because I need to check with my partner. I really want to discuss it with my significant other. They don't say significant other, they say partner, okay? And then the last one is, oh, this sounds amazing. Can I think about it? I really just want to think about it. I'm the type of person that just takes time to digest things and process things and stuff like that. So anyway, they're just my top four. You might have different top four. If you are having conversations with people about high-end enrollments or high-ticket enrollments, as these are called, like anything over $2,000 is referred to as a high-ticket enrollment. Start taking notes now of the types of objections that are coming up for you, okay, with your clients. Also, from the other perspective, think about if you and I have ever had a conversation, or if you have ever had a conversation with somebody else. Maybe it was Tony Robbins' team, or do you know what I mean? Maybe it was B School or something like that, and you really wanted to do it, but that money objection or the time objection or the discussing it objection or the thinking about it objection came up for you, because I want you to see it from both sides. Okay. So what I'm going to do is just sort of move through these one at a time. Now, this is only my opinion. You might see it differently, but I'm just going to share it with you because, yeah, this isn't interactive, unfortunately. Okay, so I think what happens is we feel a connection with each other, and then when it comes to the investment, if I haven't painted the picture or helped you paint your own picture of, you know, the benefits and the costs and all of this sort of stuff, an objection is going to pop up, right? And usually that objection, one of those four, comes from what I know as lazy mind or surface mind. And my understanding of this is it's just like the first thing that you say, it comes out on autopilot and you just straight away go, nope, I can't afford it, I'm not doing it, da 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 da. And it happens because you've been, you know, you've bumped into this wall when you've heard the fee and you want to get out of it, right? So your anxiety has been, like, you haven't really had any anxiety, you've just been having a great conversation, and now, boom, the anxiety's right up. And of course, you want to get rid of it. So you try and get rid of it as quickly as you can, and you say, I can't right now, maybe in 6 months, maybe in 12 months. Thank you, mother, for the rabbits, and I'll see you later. So I think that's what's going on. I think it's just anxiety suddenly spikes and you want to get out of there as quickly as you can. That's totally understandable. You and I both know, as you know, health professionals, that it's never about what happens with the surface mind. All right, it's not about that initial reaction. And as therapists and counselors and psychologists and social workers, we wouldn't be very good practitioners if we didn't want to understand what was going on beneath the surface, right? So it's my opinion that what happens is we have these thoughts about time, money, checking with somebody else, or thinking about it as a, you know, as a quick escape. And I think if you're on a call with someone like me and I just let you go, If I said, oh, okay, then no problem, I'll see you later, I think that that would be really, you know, shitty of me to do, because I haven't helped you. And I think my role is to coach you through what's going on beneath the surface. I think if I just accepted what you said and let you go, I think that you would go away from there feeling a bit deflated and feeling a bit like, oh, well, I really would have liked to have done that. And now I've missed out, or, you know, why didn't she stand for me? Why didn't she help me with this? She's meant to be a coach or something like that. So I feel it's in part all of our responsibility when we're on the phone with clients to do that deeper work. And you don't just launch into it, of course. If I was on a call with you, I would say, hey, you know, you've said to me you don't have the time right now, but here we are. We just had an hour call together or a half hour call together and you're able to create this time today. I'm wondering what's really going on for you right now. Are you open to, you know, trying a little bit of coaching now so that you can see what it's like? And most of the time people say yes. And then what happens is we do that deeper work. And I'm going to take you through what that looks like in a minute so that you can see it from a client perspective, but also from a practitioner perspective, because of course I want to help you. So I think that, as I said, it's lazy mind trying to eliminate anxiety really, really quickly. And if you're going to be, you know, an effective health professional, I think that you need to be ready to hold the space, as you already do, and support this person through whatever is going on at a deeper level. And you know what? Detach yourself from the outcome. Doesn't matter if they end up enrolling with you or not. Isn't it good just to help somebody deal with their stuff? That's why we do this. We want to be in service and we want to be helpful, okay? Not everyone's going to enroll, but you always get an opportunity, usually, to support them through their stuff. Okay, so the other problem with this sort of surface mind or lazy mind is not only is it temporary relief from the anxiety, but it keeps you safe, you know. And when we think about spirituality and working with our soul energy, it's very constrictive. If we, you know, if I got on a call with you and I really loved what you were doing with your program, then you told me it was $10,000 and I said, oh, I can't afford that right now, and you just let me go. Well, what's happened to me is I walk away with that very constricted energy. I'm closed off. I'm closed in on myself. I've got walls up. It's constrictive. It's restrictive. It's the opposite to what I really want to be feeling, which is open and expansive. Yep. I'm going away in wounded energy when really the whole reason I booked a call with you was because I could see that you could help me open up that energy and help me be expansive by helping support me in overcoming my own stuff, you know, get out of my own head. That's why I'm coming to you. So if you just let me go, then I haven't experienced any of that and I leave feeling constricted and restricted. Okay. If you are somebody who identifies as being mostly in her feminine core essence, then the other thing is when you get off that call, you're going to feel empty because the feminine really likes to feel filled up. She loves to have her cup overflowing. It's the masculine that craves the emptiness. Hey, that masculine energy wants other things. But if you're in your feminine energy and you love somebody's program so much that you jump on a call with them, you can't wait to see them, and you love the conversation, then it gets to the fee and they tell you what it is and you say you can't afford it and they say, okay, then, well, I'll see you later. Come back to me when you can. Well, you're going to go away and you're not going to feel filled up. You're going to feel empty. And if you're on a call with me, I certainly don't want you going away feeling empty and not filled up. You're going to go away feeling not connected to me or to my programs or to remedies or interventions or supports or communities. You're going to feel not supported. And all of this, when it happens, then impacts on things like, you know, how you feel about yourself and how you see yourself in terms of your worth. And so this has an impact on your practice, obviously, because you're not getting the help. It has an impact on your referrals. And I would love for you to, you know, really think about how's this affecting other areas of my life when I'm in this place, right? So I'm going to take you through the four objections that I've had in my coaching business, and I'm going to do it from the perspective of you being the client, okay? Sorry, I just tapped my microphone there because I'm throwing my hands around everywhere. I'm going to do this from the perspective of you being the client. So I'm talking to you right now. Okay, so if you said to me, Brooklyn, I really, really, really want to work with you one-to-one. I see how you can help. I've read the testimonials. I've read the case studies. People, you know, have told me that it's a great program and everything, but I can't afford it. I would say to you, probably, and I know this case-by-case basis, so I'm just being general. I might say to you something like, well, can I just ask you something? Would that be okay? Yep, that would be okay. All right, I want to ask you, is this really about the money? Because I have a sense that maybe there's something more going on here. I'm just wondering if maybe it's a fear. Is there something that's worrying you about taking this next step? And I would really want you to have a think about that. And I might even say, you know what, some common fears that other women have when it comes to investing in coaching for their private practice is they might say to themselves, well, what if this doesn't work for me? What if it doesn't work? They might say in their minds, can she really help me? Will this program work for me? What if it works? What then? I don't want to be inundated with referrals and have less time at home. But what if it works? What if it doesn't work? Where will I be if it doesn't work? And I want you to know that if any of those things pop up for you in a sales conversation with me, that these are really valid fears. But it's also an opportunity for you to look at whether or not you're going to allow yourself to continue to be held back by them. Because I believe if you've booked this call with me, it's because you believe on some level that I can help you. And that's why I'm here. So what I'd like to do is suggest maybe we can turn some of these questions that you might have into statements that could support you. But first of all, let's have a look at turning these statements or turn these questions into statements around beliefs. So if you have a pen and paper near you, hit pause right now, go and get your pen and paper and come back and I'll give you the questions. There are seven. Okay, so first one is, you know, what do I believe to be true? The next one is this belief 100% true? The third one is, how is this belief impacting on my private practice? The fourth one, what would be possible or what would happen if I released this belief? What would be different in my life or my practice? Based on this, what could a new belief be that could support me? And then what I want you to do is take that new belief and turn it into a question, beginning with, how many ways can I ... Okay. So if we take this belief, I can't afford it, and we use this process that I've just given you here, it would look like this. What do I believe to be true? Well, I believe that I can't afford it. Is this belief 100% true? And you'd write down if it was or not. How is the belief that I can't afford it impacting my private practice? Well, it's stopping me from getting the help that I need. It means that I'm having to be on Google for 6 hours a day trying to find free things that I can stitch together and, you know, make some sense of. It means that I'm making mistakes that are costing me time and money. It means I don't have good policies in place and I'm leaving money on the table. I'm struggling to pay myself, let alone, you know, the rent and the bills. It's costing me time with my family or something like that. What would be possible or what would happen if I release the belief that I can't afford it, and what would be different? Well, if I let go of the belief that I can't afford it, I would find a way to make the investment possible. And when I make the investment possible, what would happen for me is I could get the help that I need and I'll get results more quickly. I'd have less stress because it wouldn't all be on me. I'd have somebody to go to that has been through it, that's experienced, that can give me the shortcuts. I know I'm not in it alone. I would have support for that 60, 90 days or that 6 months. I know I would be focused. I know I wouldn't be distracted. I know I would get results. Okay, so what could a new belief be? So you might come up with a new belief, and the new belief might be something like, I am a resourceful woman. I'm just giving you an idea here, but might be, I'm a resourceful woman that makes things happen. I can make this happen too. And now turn that new belief into a question, starting with, how many ways can I? So that would look like, how many ways can I be resourceful and make this happen? See? I know, don't you love it so much? This is just the best. I love it, I love it, I love it. Okay, so that's the first one. The next one that I want to look at is also a surface mind, lazy mind response that says, well, you know what, Brooklyn, this sounds good, but I need to go and discuss it with my partner. So again, this is just my sense of what's going on based on my experience, and it's going to be different for everybody. I appreciate that. But in general, what's going on here is a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust in your ability to make a big decision for yourself. And it's totally fine to discuss things with your partner. I'm not saying don't do that. Of course, if you want to do that, do it. But there's a way to do it. And this is what you need to understand. There's a way of discussing things with a partner when we go and do that. The mistakes that I see women make are they go as if they're seeking permission, or they go as if they're seeking approval. It's like they're coming from that wounded feminine. And when we think about the masculine energy and the feminine energy, we can see how we make mistakes when we have those conversations with our partners. And we can also see what we could do differently in future to have those conversations with our partners. So remember, the masculine energy, and women have masculine energy, men have feminine energy. It's just the names of the energy that we use. But generally, men are often in their masculine energy. And traditionally, what that looks like is they want to, or they see themselves as being, you know, the head of the household, perhaps, or they see themselves as wanting to provide. Like they take pride in that. It's part of how maybe they see their role. And so when you come to your partner after a call with me about coaching, you're feeling really excited about it and you want to do it and you're ready to sign on the dotted line, you just need to go and talk to him. First of all, ask yourself, am I going because I've made the decision already, or am I going to get permission? That's the first thing. We'll come back to that. Second thing, remember, he's in his masculine. So if you go there and you say to him, hey, you know, I'm going to do this and it's going to be amazing and it's going to help me bring money into our family so that we can go to Bali, or so that we can go to Queensland, or so we can, you know, get an extension put on the house and all of this, he's going to say no. He's going to say no. And it's not because he doesn't want you to do it. It's because he doesn't want to lose power or his energy or his role, or however it is he's interpreting that masculine energy for himself or herself, right? So they're going to be thinking that they're losing something because you're now encroaching on their sort of energetic territory. And nobody wants that. So you will get shut down. They will say, no, not doing it, can't afford it, who is she, da 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 da, we need that money for other things. No, not doing it, it's not happening. And then you're going to come back to me and say, yeah, they said no, maybe next year when we're in a better position financially, right? What I want you to know is how to have the conversation with the masculine energy, because I know most of you have told me that you identify as being mostly in your feminine energy for most of the time. So you have to remember that the feminine energy loves to feel filled up. She loves love. She loves connection. She loves movement. She loves relationships. She loves expansion, right? She's about growth. She's about open, being open. She's about receiving, okay? She's about support, all those sorts of beautiful things. So when you go and talk to your significant other, here's what you say. Darling, I've just had a conversation with Brooklyn and oh my goodness, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is exactly what I've been needing. Speaking with her has shown me how I can feel so much more fulfilled by the work that I'm doing. And this is exactly what my heart really needs right now. This is something I'm going to do for me, you know, and I'm sharing it with you because I love you so much. And I know that this is important to you, that I'm happy. And so I've made this decision to do this because it's going to make me so, 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 so happy. And I just want to thank you so much for your support. Now that is going to be received very differently because the masculine energy wants to create the safe space for the feminine to be herself. So you're not taking anything away. You're talking about how this is something you're doing just for you, to fill your own cup, to make yourself happy, to fulfill your needs, right? And that masculine energy wants that for you. And do you see also, you're coming from a place of having made that decision for yourself already. You're not coming asking for permission. Okay, so understand, you know, what energy your partner is in, understand what energy you're in, and then match those energies so that that conversation can flow really, 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 really beautifully. Okay, if your partner is more in their feminine energy and you're more sort of masculine identified, then you're going to go to your partner and you're going to say, hey, this is going to help us because this is going to give me the framework and the structure that I don't have right now, so that I can implement things and really start to do more for our family, right? The masculine loves structure, process, foundations, things like that. The feminine needs that to feel safe. So go and make that feminine identified energy partner feel safe by saying, hey, this is an investment in our future, etc., etc. You know what to say. Okay, so that's that one. I know, right? How good is this? I told you this is so good. What's the next one? Oh, the next one is the time objection. Okay, so it's so easy to say we don't have time, but the reality is that we all have the same 24 hours. Agree? Agreed. Okay. So let's tackle this one. What's really, really going on here? If you said to me, hey, Brooklyn, like your coaching program sounds great. The money's not an issue. It's the time. I just don't have the time to invest in this. When you say that to me, what I might hear is that you're in the wounded feminine energy. And by that, I mean, perhaps we've got a little bit of you know, those the martyr archetype where she's giving to everybody and she's selfless and she puts everybody before herself and she makes herself last. Like she eats from the bowl last, she drinks from the bowl last, she would give you the shirt off her back. You know, we all know these types of people. But I would just be wondering, are you in that space? Are you in that space of saying that everybody else's needs are more important than your own? And I would coach you through that. So I might say something like, you know, I'm just wondering if it's possible if, you know, this is a pattern for you at the moment. Like, do you not have time because you're so busy? Like, what does a typical day look like for you or a typical week look like for you? And I'm going to listen to what you say. If I hear that you're putting everybody else first, that sends a message to me that perhaps there is something that we need to peel back a little bit here, go deeper a little bit here. And if you're willing, I would absolutely love to coach you through it on that call, because there's an opportunity here for you to break a pattern, irrespective of whether we end up working together or not. I would love to help you break that pattern so that you could stand in your power without worrying about what other people think. You could set a healthy boundary so that you could protect your energy. When you have boundaries, when you're protecting your energy, when you're doing all of those things, it allows you to give even more than you have been, because you're managing your energy. Okay. So I would ask you about that sort of stuff. Other coaches are going to say, well, you know what, do you know how to prioritize your time? And they're going to tell you about prioritizing your time. And do you know what, if you're in the masculine energy, that will make a lot of sense to you about how to prioritize your time. But I don't believe that you're in that energy. I believe you're probably going to be in the wounded feminine, giving, exhausted at the end of the night. You know, it's all you can do to have a shower. And then you get up the next day and it all starts again with the giving. And there'll be some narrative that you're telling yourself about being a good person because you run yourself into the ground, or maybe something like that. I don't know. I'm just giving you examples here. I know it's different for everyone. But here's, you know, you might say some things like, you know, is it worth spending that much money on coaching for myself? That might be something that that goes through your mind. Or you might say, well, I'd really love to do it, but if I did, then I would be taking away money from my family, or I'd be taking away money from my Google Ads budget. And, you know, I really need that Google Ads budget to keep going. But here's what I want you to know. You were born worthy. You're born worthy, okay? This is at its core, I think it comes back to feelings of self-worth. And so that's why I'm saying to you, you're born worthy. And if this objection here speaks to you, what I would ask you to do in your journal is start to turn those thoughts into questions. So for example, when you say, you know, am I taking things away from others if I enroll in this coaching program, I would turn that into a question like, how will enrolling in this coaching program help me to give more to others? If it says, you know, if you ask yourself, is it worth spending that much money on myself? I would turn that into a question as well. I would say, how is spending this money on my practice going to be worth it? Okay. So it's the same, but all we're doing is just turning it into a question that's expansive for you, because I want to shift you out of that safe space of constriction, of playing small, of hiding, of being in the shadow. I want to give you an experience, even through journaling, about expansion and what could be possible for you. And then the last one of the four is when we say we need time to think about it before we make a decision. So, I think I've just gone over that one, haven't I? I have. What's the next one? So I'm just looking through my notes. Need to discuss it, need to think about it, can't afford it, don't have time. Oh, okay, did I do time or did I do thinking about it? I think thinking about it is when we say, yeah, so we're doing thinking about it. Yeah, thinking about it is, to me, an indication of not trusting yourself to make decisions again. And I think thinking about it is when we're in that wounded masculine energy and we're saying, I need more information. You're getting stuck in procrastination. You want to look over all the details with a fine-tooth comb, because doing all of this activity makes you feel safe. But really what it's doing is it's impeding your ability to make a decision. and you're getting stuck in your head. And when you're stuck in your head, it feels safe because you're familiar in that space. But at the same time, you're not actually making progress on your practice and you're staying stuck. Nothing is going to change for you when you say you need to think about it. When you say you need to think about it and you're in that wounded masculine energy, what you need to do is reconnect with the sacred and divine feminine energy. Now, that energy is all about connecting with your heart. So it's finding a way to drop out of that fear mindset, dropping out of your head back down into your body and your heart. So you would want to use a tuning in practice to help you connect with your heart. So one of the things that I know many of you can do, and you do it really well, is you close your eyes and you put your hand on your heart and you just ask, you know, what's the next step for me, or what's the right action for me, or what do I need to know right now? And in your heart, there's only love. There's only love. If the feedback that you receive is all about how it's unsafe, you're still in your head and you need to just take a moment to drop down into your heart. Okay. The other way that you can connect with guidance is to use your cards, you know, use your oracle card or use a tarot card, pull one and see what that card means for you. Don't read the book because the book is very, very general and it's not going to be tailored to you and your energy. You take a look at the card and you notice, you know, oh, this card is mostly blue. What does blue mean to me? Oh, it's got a picture of a daisy on it. What do daisies represent to me? And go through every element of the card and make a note about what it means to you. And that's how you're going to interpret your card. Okay, does that make sense? And this is how you start to get out of your head and allow yourself to receive that guidance about what the next right step is for you. Okay. So, you know, I love objections when clients are willing to go there and when clients are willing to be coached on the call through whatever it is that's coming up for them. And I've given you general guidance today. It's going to be different for everybody, as I said. But when you have a call with me, when it gets to discussing the money, I will definitely invite you to be coached through that. And I don't care if you enroll or not, but I want to help you overcome that because I know that when you do, you're going to receive more in your practice. And when you get on a call with me, it's probably because there's more to be received and you're aware that there's more to be received. You're just not sure how to get there. Does that make sense? And so I want to help you unlock that for yourself. We can absolutely do that. And so if you've been on the fence about connecting with me for some coaching for your private practice, here is your chance to jump off the fence now because I have 5 coaching places available for October and I'm taking applications now. So if you'd like to go through this coaching call with me, if you would like a chance to be coached on the call through overcoming your objections as well, irrespective of if you sign up or not, then absolutely apply. All you need to do is book a call with me. The link is in the show notes. We're going to have a conversation for 30 minutes. Of course, I want to work with you. And I would trust your booking because you want to work with me as well. And if that's genuine and you genuinely want the help, but you've got some fears around it, you're exactly who I want to help. You're exactly who I want to support. So as I said, there are applications open. We start in October. There's 5 places available. And I would love to connect with you and show you what this looks like in real life. Okay. So I hope that you really, really love this podcast. Do bookmark it because you'll definitely want to come back to it at some point. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to hear your reflections on this and I can't wait to meet you as well. Have a beautiful Saturday. Bye, ladies. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.